All right, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. What is the main point today? You ready to write? What is the main point? The main point today is that if you refuse to serve God as king, you will end up serving something less than God as king. If you refuse to serve God as king, you will end up serving something less than God as king. And you say, no, I'm going to be my own boss. Well, that's not the way it works. It turns out you're really not in a position to govern even your world, much less the universe. There is a God who rules over all. And if you refuse, if you say, no, I will not serve him, I will not, you will end up serving something less than God as king. Got it? Let's look at it together in 1 Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now, listen to them. But warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. Now, listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. And the Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone go back to his town." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It's been a number of years now. My oldest son is 35. At the time that this happened, he was 16. He was driving from our house down to devotions at the ranch. He had his younger brother, Clayton, seated in the front seat next to him. Mr. Andrew was riding in the car with me as we followed them down the hill. Now, Paul was just learning to drive, and he had an additional challenge in that his legs don't work, so he had to steer with one hand and control the gas and brake with the other. Unfortunately, the car that he was driving, the engine lost power, and with it, he no longer had power steering or power brakes. Well, that made the car harder to control. And Paul, not wanting to risk running off the embankment and tumbling down the mountainside, decided that he would go into the ditch on the right-hand side where the embankment goes up this way. And so he pulled the car in that direction and began bouncing in and out of the ditch because he didn't know how to get the car to stop. Mr. Andrew asked me. He was not Mr. Andrew at that time. He was little Andrew. But he asked me, "What is he doing?" And I said, "He's having a car wreck." Okay? You see, I was following behind in my vehicle, and we could see what was going on, and it didn't look good. But what was happening was not something where I could fix it. Now, God's different than me, because God could intervene, and he could call things to a halt, and he could turn everything around, but he has chosen in his sovereignty not to. In his sovereignty, he has chosen to give us responsibility for making some decisions. And sometimes we do really stupid stuff. God could have made it so that in the Garden of Eden, there wasn't a tree of good and evil. Could have, but he didn't. He could have made it so that when Adam and Eve tasted the fruit, they just went, and that was the end. God makes two more people and gives them a chance. Could have, but he didn't. He could have wiped out Noah and his family along with everybody else in the great flood, but he didn't. He chose to save some. God is sovereign. He does what he chooses. But that makes it all the more insane for us to try and resist his rule. For us to fail to recognize who he is and how blessed we are to have such a king, to have such a ruler. God had just rescued his people from the Philistines, and now, having been rescued, some time goes by and the people say, Everybody else has a king. All the surrounding nations have a king. Why can't we have a king? Why would you want a king? Well, because all the other nations have a king. Yeah, but they don't serve your God. He is your king. We'd like an earthly king, a human king, somebody we can see, somebody we can wave at. Somebody who will ride out before us and lead us in our battles. That's what they say. Look at it. Verse 20. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. God led them in the defeat of the Philistines. Remember this story last time? He thundered against the Philistines, and the Philistines were so panicked, they turned and ran the other way, and the Israelites were able to chase them down and slaughter them. I mean, what earthly king could do that? It wasn't as if they needed an earthly king. They wanted an earthly king. Just a few points here. Learn to distinguish between what you need and what you want. You will find that many of the temptations toward big mistakes that you will have in life come from not recognizing the difference between what you need and what you want. And if you think you need whatever you want, you will make a lot of stupid decisions that will come back to bite you in the behind. Is that clear?
Did he say behind?
Yes, I was being careful. All right? You will be sorry. if you don't learn to distinguish between what you need and what you want. I was walking through the grocery aisles yesterday at Kroger. Two old guys who looked like Baptists paused at the Krispy Kreme display. And as I pushed my little cart by, I just said to them, "Yield not to temptation." Kept walking. "Hey, I own stock in Krispy Kreme. Please don't discourage sales." I just want people to know the difference between what we want and what we need. Okay? Go to the protein aisle. Buy some nuts. That's what I did. So when I'm feeling like I want something to rejuvenate me, don't go for sugar. Go for protein. You can get the ones that are coated with cinnamon or dark chocolate if you wish. It's powdered dark chocolate, so it doesn't have all the fat and other stuff added to it that's unhelpful. You don't need that. Just eat the nuts, okay? But let me tell you, if I think, "Oh, I need a donut. I really need, I'm having a hard day. And it's tough, a lot of stress. I need a donut." I'm not thinking straight, okay? And hence the remark about behinds. Be careful. If you confuse needs and wants, you'll make bad decisions. The Israelites thought that they needed an earthly king. They didn't. They just wanted one. And one of the main reasons they wanted one is because they wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to be like everybody else. Everybody else has one. Everybody else has got one. Look at verse 5. They said to him, "You are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us such as all the other nations have." Look at verse 20. "Then we will be like all the other nations." One of the most powerful pressures pushing them into the ditch, into the wreck, into the wrong decision, one of the most powerful formative forces leading them in the wrong direction was the desire to be like everybody else. Now, I know that you guys here at the ranch never feel any kind of peer pressure. Okay? Just doesn't happen here. We're immune from that, right? Oh, well, maybe not. I don't care if you are in kindergarten or if you are in a nursing home. Peer pressure is a powerful thing. It is powerful. We are hardwired to look around and see what other folks are up to and try and do the same thing. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. All kinds of studies have been done on this. And it is astounding the bizarre things that people will do in order to try and fit in. I mean, you got a group of people, and we all agree ahead of time, we're going to do this. A new person will come into the group, and you know what they'll do? After just a few moments of having come into the room where we are, they're going to go, "Why are they doing that?" "I don't know. Everybody else is doing that." "Yeah, but why are you doing it?" "Well, I don't know." Why would people do that? Peer pressure. Peer pressure. You say, "Well, you know, that's not harmful to have your one hand on the head and one hand on the hip." That's not harmful. But why are you doing it? "Well, because everybody else is doing it. I don't want to be the only one who's not doing it." I want to recite for you something Jesus tells us about life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and very few people find it. If you are moving with the traffic, if you are going along with the crowd, if you are fitting in with what most people are up to, I can guarantee you, you're headed in the wrong direction. You're headed in the wrong direction. Jesus said so. Well, I think most people would agree. Well, then it's wrong. The fact of the matter is, most people get it wrong. Most people are headed in the wrong direction. Jesus is the one who set that out.
Pastor Wood, I think you're just being narrow.
No, I'm not being narrow. I'm on a narrow road. Thank God.
I think most of us would say, well,
yeah, I think most of you would. Because most of you are on a broad road. You're headed for destruction. You need to repent. You need a change of mind that results in a change of direction. If you're going with the flow,
have you seen the shirts? You know, just go with the flow.
That's what I do. I just try and go with the flow, man. You know, just go with the flow. The flow of what? If you're going along with the crowd, if you're trying to fit in, if you're trying to be normal, if you're trying to be average, typical, just like everybody else, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. The flow tends to end up in the ditch. Got it? Now, here, Samuel sees the people making a huge mistake. And he wants to stop them. But God demonstrates his wrath just like he does in Romans chapter 1 when he tells people, have it your way. Have it your way. Read Romans 1:18 and following. What do you find? When God pours out his wrath, what it looks like is God giving them over to do what they desire. God says, go ahead. Kyle, would you come up here, please? Love you, buddy. I don't want you to get hurt, but I think you're tough. Okay? Now, this is Kyle. Can you see Kyle? Kyle, I'm going to hold your hand here. I want you to pull in that direction. Pull. 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 There you go. Pull. You're not pulling hard enough. Now, what happens if I let go? Huh? He's going to fall. Stand up, Kyle. Thank you. If I let go of this guy when he's trying to get away from me, if I suddenly say, okay, boom, let go, boom, he's on the floor. I didn't do that to you, did I, Kyle? I don't want to hurt you. Go have a seat. Yeah, give him a round of applause there. He did a good job. Thank you. I want you to understand something. When God restrains us, he is being merciful and kind. God's wrath is displayed when he lets us go. He gives us over to a depraved mind. We do all kinds of horrible things. Like, read Romans 1:18 and following. It sounds like a description of contemporary America and the church. Sadly. Now, the Israelites said, we want an earthly king so that we can be like the other nations. And Samuel says, huge mistake. God says, let them have what they want. But tell them what the consequences will be. Warn them. He says, they are doing just what they've done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. That's what they're doing with you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly. This is verse 9. Warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. What's the king who will reign over them going to do? The king's going to act like he's God. I want 10%. Okay. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be if we had a government here in America that only wanted 10%? Can you imagine? The model that we're on is more like what Joseph set up in Egypt, where everybody became slaves of the government, because the government ends up taking everything. There's an attitude on the part of those who govern that is a cancerous attitude that says, ultimately, it all belongs to us. The government can do whatever we please. We can, you get your rights from us. We will tell you what you can do. We will tell you what you will and will not do. We will tell you how much you can keep. We will tell you how much you can spend. We will tell you how much you can earn. We will tell you where you can live. We will tell you how you can live. Let me just tell you, when the government's doing that, the government's acting as if it's God. Now, the government, if it's going to play the role of God, also has to say, we will take care of you if you are sick. Okay? We will tell you what your children need to learn. We will run your life and we will provide for you from cradle to grave. And if you're out of work, don't worry about it. We'll take care of you because we are the giant dispenser of good. This is not a new American problem. This is not a problem of one political party. This is the history of mankind's perversion. When we don't want to depend on God, we end up serving something less than God as God. It's been going on for ages. It's not new. It's not an American problem. It's not a modern problem. It's a human problem. We said last time that in the garden, Adam and Eve decided they didn't have to do what God said. They were going to be like God and do what a snake said. What? Excuse me? I mean, is there a disconnect there? See, they didn't become independent. They started taking orders from a serpent instead of from the Lord God. Instead of obeying the Creator who invented paradise, they think they can strike a blow for independence by taking orders from a snake. That's crazy. Yep, sin is crazy. It is absolutely nuts for us to ever think we can come up with a better plan than the one that was devised by infinite intelligence.
Yeah, but he doesn't know what I know.
He knows how many hairs are on top of your head. He knows everything. He knows your future. He knows your needs. He knows your longings. And amazingly, he has shown his love for us. Now, in this chapter, God says, give them what they're asking for, but warn them solemnly first as to what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is, when you've got a king, the king is going to treat you as if you belong to him. And he can take the best of your fields, the best of your animals. He can demand not only 10%, but he gets to choose. He can say, your daughter is going to come to my palace. And you don't have the ability to say no. The king's going to tell you what your career is going to be. The king is going to tell you, this is mine. The king is going to play God. That's what's going to happen. God told him, told Samuel, tell the people, when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to Samuel. Verse 19. The people refused to listen to Samuel. The people refused to listen to Samuel. Be careful how you listen. Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, hear. Some of you will sit here day after day, week after week, month after month, and the truth of God is going to come to you from various Bible teachers, and you're not going to hear a thing. It's just not there. like water on a stone. Listen. Don't refuse to listen. Listen. Listen and say, God, help me to understand what you're saying. Help me as I read your word. Help me as I memorize your word. Help me understand it. Help me to believe it. Help me to obey it. I don't just want more information when I go to Scripture. I want God to transform me. The people refused to listen to Samuel. No, they said. We want a king over us. Then we'll be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. They wanted to walk by sight. They didn't want to have faith. They wanted to walk by sight. They said, we want to be able to see the king. We want somebody we can look at. The very next chapter, God's going to give them somebody they can look at. He's going to be head taller than everybody else in the kingdom. Isn't that great? Good looking guy. Tall. Whoa, hey, that guy looks like a king. That guy turned out to be a buffoon. That guy turned out to be mentally ill. That guy turned out to be afflicted with evil spirits. That guy turned out to be a disaster. Oh, I think he had some good days. Yeah. A broken clock is right twice a day. Okay? Think about that. You'll get it. It's true. And Saul sometimes did the right thing. But if you look at the trajectory of his life, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. They want somebody they can see. God says, give it to them. Warn them what's going to happen, but then give them what they ask for. I'll just tell you, there have been times in my life when I told God, this is what I really want. And God astounded me with how quickly he said, okay, you want it? It's yours. And my first thought was, and then I thought, wait a minute. It came awfully fast. I didn't ask God what he wanted. I just told him what I wanted. I wasn't praying for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. I was kind of going to him with my shopping list as if he's my cosmic butler. And I said, God, is this what you want? And God said, oh, now you want to know what I want? I said, well, yes, I really do. And God said, that's not the best thing for you. It's not what I want for you. And I was like, okay, well, if you don't want me to have this, then okay. God's like, I can give that to you if that's what you want. Is that what you want? It's like, no, I want you. I want you. Let me tell you something. You can have all kinds of things. You can achieve all kinds of goals. You can accomplish all kinds of achievement. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Don't worry about what other people are doing, what other people have. Just focus on the Lord. I want him. You will find rest for your soul. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you invite us to know you and to find in you all the riches of eternal life. Peace that passes understanding, joy inexpressible and full of glory. Help us to rejoice, for the Lord is King. And we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.